SKU goes up 8 with 4.6 seconds to go. They get it into Nembhard. He'll get it across midcourt. He's hunting a two-pointer. He won't get it off, and you can rock. Chalk it up. The Jayhawks win it. Losing skid is snapped. KU wins 59-51.
Jayhawks win last night, and there were some funny things on Twitter. I did not see the very first half, and I'm so glad because I tuned in, and it said 19-18. I'm like, what? Really? 19-18?
Yeah.
Okay. Turned to my son. I said, glad we missed that first half. And I said, let me go on Twitter here at halftime. This should be fun. People make fun of this. And it was. The Rock Chalk blog was pretty funny last night.
Yeah.
That is the worst half of basketball I've ever seen. Here's the highlights from the first half. It showed the opening tip. That was it. I mean, it was not pretty. It was not pretty at all. But the Jayhawks, despite the 19-18 score at halftime, the Jayhawks do find a way to get it done, to snap a three-game losing streak. They have some very favorable games coming up on their schedule, including Iowa State twice and K-State twice. Well, those should be four wins the way those two teams are going right now. Although, the way KU played last night, I don't think it's a given they're going to win all those games. Here's Bill Self on the Jayhawks snapping that three-game slide and getting back on the winning track.
Decided to go more athletic the second half, and I thought it was pretty good. But if you go really watch it, that team that started the second half also was down 7 when we subbed. So they sparked us, and then they came back, and we go down 7, if I'm not mistaken, like 36-29. And then I thought from that point on we played really well. You know, we played tight. There's pressure on these kids, and we played tight, and we didn't make our free throws and a lot of things, but we really rebounded the second half. We didn't the first half at all. Rebounded the second half, and we had a couple of timely shots, even though we still shot it miserably, but we did a better job and, you know, got to the finish line.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, but KU did make enough plays. Jalen Wilson was kind of missing in action last night. He's been one of their better players this year. McCormick stepped up, and they got a contribution from Foster off the bench when he didn't play in the first half. He played 17 of the 20 minutes in the second half, and Bill Self just went with the guys that had energy and made plays, and Grant Foster made plays last night. You know, he's one of the older kids on the team. He's a junior college transfer, one of the best junior college players in the nation last year. And so it's just, I think, taking him a little while to adjust to the D1 level. But he played well and gave them some really great energy and effort plays last night. And without him, I don't know if KU wins or not. And David McCormick came up with some big plays as well, including a three-pointer when the shot clock was winding down, his first three-pointer of the season. And the Jayhawks win. So a good win for KU. Not a flashy win, but it is a win is a win. When you lose three in a row, you don't apologize for winning.
No.
I don't care how ugly it is. And they don't get a lot of style points, but they do win. And we'll hear from Bill Self about their next opponent, which will be Tennessee, part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge, coming up on Saturday, tomorrow. And we'll hear from Bruce Weber as well, as K-State will be in action. We'll go through all those matchups. That's coming up in a bit. But first, we start with local sports. And Dusty, there's some basketball last night. And then we'll have some wrestling, and then more basketball tonight. And there's a lot going on.
Yeah, we'll start with the results from last night, where the Smith Center girls won over Republic County 69-24. And in the boys' game, it was Republic County 57-27 over Smith Center. So they split there last night in Belleville in that one. And then Rock Hills gets a sweep of Red Cloud, Nebraska last night. On the girls' side, it was Rock Hills winning 43-20. Kerrigan Dunston had 14 points, including 4 3-pointers to lead Rock Hills. And Lauren Welchel scored 11. And then the boys' game, it was Rock Hills winning 44-32 over Red Cloud. Davion McDonald with 24. And Jared Gillett scored 11 for Rock Hills in that victory. So those are the scores from the area last night. And as Wade said, there's some high school basketball and wrestling going on today. We'll hit wrestling real quick first, because then we'll preview basketball coming up tonight. Wrestling for today, Smith Center's at the Mid-Continent League Tournament in Norton, and that starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And then we'll look competing at the Hoisington Round Robin beginning at 3 o'clock this afternoon in wrestling action. And then the Osborne wrestling team tomorrow will be at the Warcat Invitational in Red Cloud, Nebraska. So those are the wrestling events coming up for our area teams here this weekend, today and tomorrow. High school basketball coming up today. Again, we have coverage on Katy Country 94, Osborne at Lakeside, pregame 5:50. The girls' game starts at 6. The boys to follow is on the schedule here tonight. And then on Z96 Point Through the Lake and NCKSSports.com online video stream of the Beloit Trojan channel, Beloit at Republic County. Video stream, JV boys and girls at 4:30, C-team boys at 5:30. And then we'll get back in on the radio then on Z96.3 and video stream varsity girls pregame around 5:50. Game starts at 6, and then the boys will follow here tonight Beloit at Republic County. Other games going on this evening in the area. St. John's Tipton is at Tescott. That's boys only, as the Tescott girls are quarantined right now. Also, it is Southern Cloud at Thunder Ridge. Lincoln hosting Natoma. Pike Valley at home against Chase. And then a non-league game, Sylvan Lucas hosting Otis Bison. And then the Mid-Continent League tonight, Smith Center is at Phillipsburg. So that's a look at the full schedule for tonight for our immediate area teams. And if you want the full schedule for other area league schools, you can always check out, again, ncksports.com for the latest in high school sports here in North Central Kansas.
All right, we have rivalry matchup tonight on KD Country 94 and KD Country 94.com. Remember to download those free KD Country 94 and Z96.3 Lake apps on your smartphones and mobile devices, as it is Osborne at Lakeside. And Trinity Luters, head coach of the Osborne Lady Bulldogs, fresh off the Orange and Black Classic out at Colby, and they snapped a four-game losing streak with a win over Beloit. She knows that Lakeside's going to be ready to go tonight against their rivals.
It's unfortunate that Lakeside hasn't been able to play that many games this season, and so I know that they're wanting to play and get out, and being that we're kind of a close school rivalry, I expect that they will be ready for Osborne, because they're going to be excited to play. We want to come out, be focused, remember what we're wanting to run and accomplish, and work together and take what we learned from the tournament and apply it here to the rest of the games coming up this season.
And Travis Eberle, head coach of the Lakeside Lady Knights. Of course, it has been a really crazy year for Lakeside, trying to get some games in here and there, and it's just been a mess is what it's been. It's no fault of their own. Travis Eberle knows that his team needs to slow down the Osborne offense.
Osborne's one of the teams, the last couple of years, they've come around, you know, a long ways, and they got two guards that are exceptionally well and, you know, like to drive and can shoot the ball, and then they got, you know, post player that shows a presence most of the time and rebound and gets a good outlet pass. So, you know, we're going to focus on, they like to run and gun, so we're going to have to focus on transition defense, you know, get back and try not to give them easy layups.
So Osborne and Lakeside girls tonight, you know, you have more of a resume to look at with Osborne, obviously, than Lakeside. So quick thoughts on that matchup.
Osborne, yeah, you do have more of a resume there. So, you know, you would think Osborne would have the advantage in this game because Lakeside hasn't had enough games really to get themselves where they need to be. So, but really looking forward to it. You never know in these kind of games who's going to come out on top. And I know they both want to win pretty badly in this one.
Lakeside Osborne boys tonight as well on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Jamie Walters, head coach of the Bulldog boys, who completed their trip to Colby and went 0-3, but saw some different competition should help them down the road. And he's well aware how talented Lakeside is.
They've got a really good team. You know, they were a pretty good team last year, and, you know, another year of experience is only going to make them better. You know, obviously they got scores, they got a little size on the inside and good athletes. So, you know, we're going to have to play well to stay in the game. And I feel like if we move the ball like we did on Saturday, I feel like we'll have a chance to be in the game at least.
And on the flip side, Drew Duska, head coach of the Lakeside Knight boys basketball team, they're well aware they have to defend the three-point line against the Bulldogs.
They're going to be quick. They play up in your face, you know, intense man defense. We're definitely going to have to take care of the ball, and we're going to have to match their intensity on defense with ours, because they have good shooters, Walters, Bestert. You know, if you leave those guys open, you know, they're going to knock down shots. And that's one thing that I've really called upon the guys to really improve on their man-to-man defense, and keeping your guy in front of you and moving your feet and helping out if you get beat.
All right, so the Bulldogs versus the Knights boys game tonight should be intriguing and entertaining. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, it should be a very interesting game. Again, rivalry matchup and two teams that I think have a very similar talent level. And so going into it, I don't know who I would give the edge to. You know, Lakeside, again, is in a situation where they haven't played a lot of games, but they do appear to have most everybody back tonight to be able to go on the varsity team. And this is a game that is really 50-50 in my mind right now. It just depends on who comes out and executes the right way. I mean, that's what it really comes down to tonight for Lakeside and Osborne boys. Really looking forward to this one and seeing how it comes out.
All right, and tonight on Z96.3 Lake, our live video stream at ncksports.com, be the Beloit Trojan channel. It'll be Beloit at Republic County, and then Republic County will be at Beloit on Tuesday. That's just the way it shakes out with this with a reschedule coming up next Tuesday. So Republic County girls and the Beloit girls both have really struggled this year. Republic County girls are 1-8. They have a one-point win over Ellsworth. Their only league win was over Beloit, and that was Beloit's first game of the year. The Beloit girls are 0-7, unfamiliar territory for them. Last night, Republic County girls were down 26-0 at the end of the first quarter. They had a game earlier this year where they had 47 turnovers. So they are really struggling. But they do have a win under the belt, something that Beloit doesn't yet. But this is seems to be an opportunity for the Beloit Lady Trojans to get that first win of the season. And Sean Remus, head coach of the Lady Trojans of Beloit, well aware that Republic County is kind of in the same boat that her team is.
They're very similar to us. You know, they've had their COVID issues in the beginning and didn't get a lot of chances to play. And then they graduated a ton of seniors last year. So they're rebuilding and trying to find their identity a little bit with some young kids. And so they're just very similar to us. And so it's going to be a good game. And hopefully we can go in and control the tempo and just come away with a win.
So an opportunity for Beloit tonight against Republic County, who just played last night, and they lost to Smith Center by 45, 69 to 24. On the boys' side of things, Beloit boys are 2-6, but 1-2 at the Orange and Black Classic in Colby. And Republic County is now 2-4 with a big win over Smith Center last night, 57 to 27. Republic County has a 6'4 kid inside, Blake Orund, who's a very good player. Recently had a game where he had 16 points, 19 rebounds. So he had 14 points, 9 rebounds last night against Smith Center. And he could pose some problems inside for Republic County against Beloit tonight. Coach Ryan Eilert, well aware of that.
They've got a good inside game. Their two post players have been scoring the ball for them and causing some problems inside. And, you know, they're a group that they get a few buckets and get their confidence going, that they play, you know, pretty good defense. And so for us, it's about coming out and taking care of the ball.
You know, you'd like Beloit's chances tonight a little bit better if they were fully equipped, but they're not, because Owen Eilert, perhaps their best player on the team, him and Caleb Burks have been their two best players throughout the season. They're the two juniors that kind of lead this team. Owen Eilert, broken finger, suffered in the third place game against Garden City out in Colby and had surgery this week, and it's reported that he is out for the season. So they lose their second leading scorer, and I would say their leader on the floor in Owen Eilert. And so that's a big loss. That means that probably Owen's younger brother Quinn will step in the starting lineup, and Beloit, four of their top eight kids will be freshmen in tonight's game. It was 4 of 9, now it's 4 of 8. Everybody slides up a chair basically on the bench as well, and so it'll be a challenge for Beloit the rest of the year no matter who they play. And it will be interesting because they don't have a lot of experience inside with their post players. The biggest kids they have are two freshmen, Bryce Beisner and Maddox Waters. How do they deal with the big kid for Republic County? Actually got a couple kids that are very good inside, as you heard Coach Eilert say. So once again tonight, it is Osborne at Lakeside on Katie Country 94 and katiecountry94.com, and Beloit at Republic County on Z96.3 at Lake, katiecountry94.com, and live video stream of the JV games and the C-team game for the boys and the varsity girls and boys, all streamed at nckssports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. All right, back to the Kansas Jayhawks. As the Jayhawks win last night over TCU 59-51, they snap a three-game losing streak. They're 11-5 overall, 5-4 in the Big 12. And now they get a matchup tomorrow at number 18, Tennessee, who's off to an 11-3 start. 4:30 pregame, tip-off at 5, part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. And Bill Self has nothing but good things to say about the Volunteers. Clearly, Tennessee is very talented.
They've got two guys that were highly recruited that will probably, if they do come out this year, will be high draft picks, obviously, and Springer and Johnson. And Fulkerson's a terrific five-man, and Pons is, you know, could win National Defensive Player of the Year this year. And you know, Josiah James could be also in the top 10 or 15 National Defensive Players of the Year. So they really do guard. We got to, you know, guard them and make it where they have to labor to score as well. But just be nice if we could get something easy. We just don't get anything easy.
You know, Kansas is kind of a grinder team. That's what they're turning into. That's what they're going to have to do to win games in the Big 12 the rest of the season, and maybe perhaps can make a run in the NCAA tournament. My oldest said yesterday, he goes, you know, this is the type of team that'll surprise and make a run in the tournament. And I said, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kansas, when they're the number one seed, it doesn't usually end very well. When Kansas is in the past, over the last, you know, since the Roy Williams, Bill Self days, when they're a two seed or maybe even a three or a four, they tend to have a little bit more success, or the expectations aren't as heavy. And this is a young team in places. They do certainly have experience with Garrett and McCormick and Abaji, but they're inexperienced with, you know, Brown, and of course, Wilson and others. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's the key. And Bill Self said it the other day. Yeah, are we going to win the Big 12 this year, this and that? You know, yeah, okay, maybe not. Are we going to have this unbelievable great season? No, but we could still have the storybook ending. And he's right, if they can figure it out. And we've seen teams do this. And I'm going to tell you, you look at college basketball right now, tell me who the best team is after Baylor and Gonzaga. You could throw 20 teams in that boat.
There's not a...
There isn't.
This is it right here.
So that means there's two spots available in the Final Four. So if you can be in a bracket avoiding Gonzaga and Baylor, why can't Kansas make a run and go to the Final Four? And McCormick's playing better. So Bill Self is really good at getting his team to play pretty well late in the year. And then it's about matchups when you get to the tournament. So we'll see. It's a long way off. Of course, the whole tournament will be in Indiana, and that'll be different. Mm-hmm. And who knows how that affects teams, too, and whether there's going to be some fans or no fans. You know, that's going to be another thing to play in because we didn't see what happened because there was no tournament last year, as you remember. Okay, so pregame 4:30 tomorrow. KU at number 18 Tennessee on Z96.3 Lake and tip-off at 5 o'clock. K-State is back in action. Texas A&M 7-7 at K-State at Bramlage tomorrow. That is 11 a.m. tip-off, bright and early tomorrow on ESPNU. K-State 5-12, 1-8 in the Big 12, and coming off that embarrassing historic loss to Baylor, 107-59, Bruce Weber on recovering from that loss going into the game tomorrow.
It's hard, and I just said we got to come back. Friday's got to be a great practice, and they got to come with that energy to believe that they can win. I've talked for a while about the last 10 when we got everyone back to see what we're about, and that's the mark they can leave if they, you know, we almost starting over, to be honest, and we'll see what they do with it.
All right. Well, yeah, what do you do? You lost by 48 last time out. A&M's not a great team. They're 7-7, but we know K-State's really been struggling. So I don't know what to expect. I mean, I guess maybe you do, but A&M's not that good. Does K-State pack it in and it's done this year after that loss? Or did they come back, you know, ticked off at the world and play well tomorrow?
You would hope they come ticked off, but that doesn't necessarily mean they play well.
Right.
Right?
Yes. Didn't come out all mad and brick a whole bunch of threes.
Yeah, I mean, you would think they need to be upset, and you would think they would be about the way that went down. But I haven't seen anything to give me confidence and hope with this K-State team right now.
Not right
and
now.
It was bad, and it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Yes.
And so I don't expect them to even be close tomorrow, even against a bad team. That's the way it is right now in my mind.
Okay. Fair enough.
I hope they are. Obviously you want it, but I got to see something from this team.
Fair enough. A&M at K-State at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning on ESPNU. We mentioned KU at Tennessee tomorrow for number 15 versus number 18. The other games in the Big 12 SEC Challenge, this would be an interesting game. Number 9, Alabama at number 24, Oklahoma. That's at 11 a.m. TCU at number 12, Missouri, who just lost to Auburn the other night. That's at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Number 10, Texas Tech at LSU at 1 o'clock. Florida at number 11, West Virginia at 1 o'clock. Auburn is at number 2, Baylor at 3 o'clock. Arkansas at Oklahoma State at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Iowa City at Mississippi State at 5. And we mentioned KU at Tennessee at 5 tomorrow. And Texas, number 5, Texas at Kentucky. That's the primetime game on ESPN at 7 o'clock tomorrow, right after KU and Tennessee. Shifting to the National Basketball Association, otherwise known as the NBA. Last night, the Rockets won their fourth game in a row. I'm cheering for the Rockets to, like, do really well without James Harden. They've won four in a row. They beat Portland last night, 104-101. The Suns beat the Warriors, 114-103. The Lakers have lost two in a row. They lost at Detroit, who's not that good, 107-92. It just goes to show that, you know, you don't always bring it. But the thing I want to focus on are the Washington Wizards. Why would I focus on a 3-11 basketball team? Any idea?
No.
Okay. have you heard of Bradley Beal?
Yes, I have.
Do you know who leads the league in scoring right now?
Bradley Beal does.
And it's not really close.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do you know
I do know that.
Do you know how many points a game he's averaging?
I don't. It's over 30. I know that.
Oh, it's over 30.
Yeah.
35.4.
Okay.
Do you know what the team's record is the last 10 times Bradley Beal has scored 40 or more points? Do you know what the Wizards' record is in those 10 games?
1-9.
That's what my son guessed as well. 0-10.
Didn't even win one of them.
Not a one. Bradley Beal scored 40 or more the last 10 times for the Wizards. He scored 40 or more. He had one game where he had scored 60.
Uh-huh.
They've lost every single one of them. And they asked him the other day, are you frustrated? And he said, is the sky blue?
Well, yeah. Is that a real question?
He says, is the sky blue? But he is a teammate. He's a team player. Russell Westbrook has not played well at all with the Wizards. No. He looks to be, you know, a declining player. John Wall's actually looked pretty good for Houston, to be quite honest. It's kind of his team now.
John Wall and Westbrook were chirping back and forth the other night when they played. And Beal's just sitting there with his hands on his hips and like, how do I treat this? Because John's kind of my buddy still.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a tough spot for Bradley Beal. And so it's just amazing that, you know, I remember we talked about this before when Jordan would score 50 or 60, the Bulls would lose. But when he scored around, you know, 25 to about 40, they'd win. And then when they got really good, he didn't have to score, you know, 50 or 60 like he did when he was younger. But Bradley Beal, I mean, he's filling it up. 35 points a game, and I just talk about maybe he'll be on the trading block, which I'm like, why? See, this is the thing I don't understand. Help me with this. Why is the first reaction to always trade your star player? To me, the reaction should be surround my star player with better players. Because why would I, like, why do we automatically just say, and the NBA, they're, by the way, the NBA, this is not small market versus big market. It's just simply you can keep your player. They've got him under contract for the next couple of years. Bradley Beal has not complained. He just, you know, admits he's frustrated. Anybody would. Mm-hmm. If you want to win, now if he's selfish and he doesn't care about winning, then he'd be happy with scoring 35 on a bad team. So to me, I don't understand this. It's like, I understand it in baseball. Like, okay, Carlos Beltran's up. He's going to be a free agent. We know we can't sign him. We got to get something for him. This isn't the case. Bradley Beal, you know, James Harden, understand the Rockets traded him because he wanted out and he was being a cancer and he sold out. He just wanted out. And Zach Greinke, when he went out with the Royals, I get all that. But Bradley Beal has not said anything about that. And obviously he's going to be frustrated because he's a competitor. He wants to win. He's only 27 years of age in the prime of his career. Why would you trade a 27-year-old leader of the league at 35 points a game? That's all the talk I saw yesterday was in the NBA about, well, Bradley Beal. Every team in the NBA is interested in him. Well, you think? A guy averaging 35 a game who isn't got this ego like James Harden and others who's going to fit in even if he's the second or third option. He just wants to win. Why would you get rid of a guy like that? You're going to get rid of anybody. You get rid of Russell Westbrook, which I don't know what you're going to get for him now, a declining player apparently. You got to draft well. I mean, to me, you don't even think about trading Bradley Beal until you get into the offseason and then try to make some moves, whether it's free agency or the draft or trades, to help your team and see where you are. And if Bradley Beal then is really still upset or doesn't like the way the direction's going, he requests a trade, now you got a problem. Now you got to deal with it. But Bradley Beal's not going to act like a two-year-old like James Harden.
No.
He's going to be professional about it. So that's the first. We've talked about it in life that you shouldn't quit, right? You shouldn't give up. But yet it seems like any time a player starts to whine and complain, the first thing is, all right, where is he going to go? And I know every situation is different. I think Deshaun Watson has a major beef why he should be traded. That organization is inept. I mean, the owner's not even going to be at the coach's press conference today to introduce the new head coach.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. And he's the one that's the leader of that dysfunctional organization. James Harden, he forced his way out. Players have done that. And if they're not going to play for you, I get that you have to eventually probably trade him. It's not worth the aggravation, no matter how great the player is.
I've been there with my NBA team.
But you know what? Kobe Bryant wanted traded. The Lakers held on to him. That was the right move, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That worked out. They brought in. What did
and
they
Kobe
do?
Kobe had some parameters, too, like get me some guys.
And they
get
did.
Get me some dudes on the team, and they did it.
They went
right?
and got Pau Gasol, and that changed everything the second time around.
Yeah.
I mean.
The stars this day and age are not like that.
No,
they're not. They just get me out of here.
That's
I don't
right.
even care who you bring in. Just get me out of here.
And in fairness to LeBron, he tried in Cleveland. He was wanting them to bring people in, and they brought some people in. They brought Kyrie Irving in, and then, you know, eventually LeBron, you know, he left, of course, the second time, but the second time through for Cleveland, they brought people in for him, and they won a championship. Love and Irving. First time around, they didn't, and that was like, he tried, and he's like, okay, that's it, I'm going to Miami. So I understand LeBron doing that, because he stuck it out for a while in Cleveland. He's like, this isn't going anywhere. You're not getting the right guys. Deshaun Watson, he's still young, but they're not, I mean, when you trade away DeAndre Hopkins for a can of pop, I mean, that's just not a good sign, obviously. So surround the best players. Like some of the best players, the best trades you ever made were the ones you didn't make, if that makes any sense. You know, Kobe Bryant wanted traded at one point, did not get traded. That worked out. There are other guys that have not been traded on a trading block, and things have worked out. You as the Wizards, in their situation, you've got a guy that is a really good example. He works hard. He wants to win. He's scoring. He's performing. He's still performing, even though they're losing. And there's still a lot of season to play, by the way. They might be able to turn it around. There's no reason whatsoever to trade this guy at all during the season. And then maybe you consider it during the offseason. That's only if you can't bring guys in to surround him to make him a better team in the Eastern Conference. Now, if you feel like the only way you can make yourself better is trading Bradley Beal and getting a whole bunch, if you get this unbelievable offer from some team saying, we're going to give you a starting player that's really young and good, and like, for instance, let's say we're going to give you Caris LeVert, and we're going to give you 3 first-round picks for Bradley Beal, and this team is a team that you're going to be, you know, you're going to be probably picking at the top of the draft, maybe. I don't know. You probably would consider that, but I think your first goal is to surround that star player, because stars don't grow on trees. No. And I understand why somebody could listen to this and say, well, Wade, you're all for trading James Harden. Well, I wasn't for trading James Harden until James Harden made it clear he wasn't going to try that hard, and he was out of shape, and he threw his teammates under the bus and the organization under the bus in a press conference. The very next day, he was shipped out. You can't have that on your team. He lost all respect of his teammates, and there's no way you can continue that way. No. He did it in public. He didn't do it, you know, going to the owner's office, sit down and have a one-on-one talk with the GM or whatever. Harden did it the wrong way, but he got his way, and he got out. So the Rockets pretty much had to trade him. You know, we've seen other NFL stars, you know, Terrell Owens, we've seen DeSean Jackson, other guys get their, you know, force their way out of a place. It happens sometimes, and sometimes you have no choice. Bradley Beal's not demanding a trade. He's not saying, I want out. They asked him, are you frustrated? He goes, listen, is the sky blue? Who wouldn't be frustrated?
Yeah.
When you're 3-11, if you truly care about winning.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to hear. If you're the Wizards organization, you want Bradley Beal to care. If Bradley Beal is not frustrated right now, you have a problem with your star player, because he should be.
Yeah.
If he wants to win, and you want winners on your team to turn your organization around, he is a linchpin. He is a focal point. He is the guy you build your team around. Why do you trade him? You don't. You don't.
Yeah.
If Patrick Mahomes gets all mad in a couple years because the Chiefs don't have Kelce anymore and no Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs don't have as many weapons, and Patrick Mahomes says, listen, I'm kind of interested in if you're not going to bring in some talent, you might think about trading me. You know what the Chiefs will do? They'll bring in talent.
Oh, absolutely.
They ain't going to just trade the guy and go, well, we give up. We can't keep him around. He's unhappy. No, you do everything you can to keep him happy. And that's why the Texans have screwed up so royally.
It's
they've
crazy.
They've done the opposite. They've alienated their star quarterback and franchise quarterback, and they're forcing him out of town is what they've done. It's really unbelievably and unmind-bogglingly stupid. Because you want to talk about two polar opposites. Deshaun Watson in Houston and Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City are two of the best young quarterbacks in the league, and nobody will deny that. In fact, we got talking heads sitting here saying Watson would be just as good as Mahomes if he was in that system with the Chiefs and with Andy Reid. So that tells you that people think a lot of Deshaun Watson. Every team in the league that needs a quarterback, even the Browns are even saying, some people, some fans are going, you know what, we love Baker. And Baker's responded to that, by the way. But what if we got Watson? That could still be an upgrade over Baker Mayfield. There are teams that made the playoffs that are thinking, you know what, Deshaun Watson might be, you know, big Ben Roethlisberger, $41 million against the cap. If he doesn't restructure, maybe we got to go trade and get Deshaun Watson. I'd argue, let go of Roethlisberger and go trade and get Watson if you're the Steelers, which I don't want to see as a Chiefs fan. But the point being is that all these teams are lining up, and they want Deshaun Watson. Shouldn't that tell you something, Houston? Should that tell you something? So look at the difference. In Houston, you alienate your quarterback. You get rid of his best weapon for nothing last offseason after you made it to the playoffs in the divisional round and we're up 24-0 on the Chiefs and then blew it. And then there's the Chiefs organization that has their franchise quarterback, and they've already locked him up to a long-term deal, and they've kept all his weapons. They re-signed all these guys. They redid money, and they whatever they had to do to keep it under the cap. The Chiefs have done everything imaginable to keep Mr. Mahomes happy. And the Texans have done everything to tick their franchise quarterback off. It is, you talk about how to do it and how not to do it. There is a perfect example in the statue of how not to do it is the Houston Texans. And the example, the perfect example in the book on how to do it is the Kansas City Chiefs. There are Chiefs fans, actually, believe it or not, were like, you can't give Mahomes $500 million. That's just crazy. That's insane. What are we doing? Well, do you want to win or not? Because if you are still against that contract, then you know what? You can go become a Houston Texan fan.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, he got a big contract too, Deshaun Watson. He has a no-trade clause, yeah, which he's going to waive, of course. So that's just a polar opposite of how you do and don't handle a franchise quarterback. So when it comes to trades, when you've got a star player, you do everything you can to put people around him to win. And that's why the Harden situation was unique, because they did put guys around him, and it still didn't work. Because Harden couldn't get along with Paul, he couldn't get along with Westbrook, Harden wanted to do it his way, he was allowed to do that, and that caused problems for the team. But Harden was given weapons around him. LeBron, the second time in Cleveland, was given weapons. The Lakers went out and got Anthony Davis to put a weapon around him. I mean, come on, the Lakers this offseason went out and got him weapons.
Yeah.
That's what great teams do. You have a star player, you build around him, you don't trade him.
No.
No way.